Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been thinking about a series of messages, and the series of messages is entitled The Example of Christ to the Believer. We ourselves very often will fail other people. We fail the unsaved people. They look to us for example in servanthood and these various things that we have been, will be talking about. And sometimes we fail. We fail really in our lives, and we don't want to. I trust that those of you who are listening really are dedicated Christians, and you sincerely, deep in your hearts, want to follow the Lord. But with all of this sincere desire, with all of our good intentions, and with all of the times we pray that God will keep us from failing, sometimes in our thoughts and our words and our feelings and everything else about our lives, we are going to fail. The unsaved see this and they're disillusioned. Other Christians see this and they lose heart. In other words, if this person can't live for the Lord when he's been a Christian so long, and if I can't look to him for an example, then what's the use of my going on? And what's the use of my turning away from sin? And what's the use of my seeking to gain victory over sin? Various ways people are disillusioned with us. But I pointed out that we have a perfect example we can turn them to. We frankly admit to the unsaved and to Christians alike, I am trying to live an example before you, but I sometimes am going to fail you. But thank the Lord, there is someone who will never fail you, because he is your perfect example. Now I want to come to this next message, and this message has to do with pleasing other people. Of course, we're still pleasing God when we please other people, but I want to concentrate on this idea of pleasing other people, using Jesus as our example. I'm turning now in my Bible to Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let everyone also please his neighbor for his good to edification. And then verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now this church at Corinth had a deep, deep problem. The church at Corinth had it, and of course now the church at Rome had it. But these two churches had a deep, deep problem. And that was, there was a selfish, arrogant spirit in these two churches. In chapter 14 of Romans, we read about their arrogant spirit. In this church, there was great diversity. There was great changes in people. But more than changes, they were simply different kinds of people in the church. There was, for instance, a Jewish group in the church. In both of these churches, there were Gentiles in the church, there were slaves in the church, there were masters in the church, there were rich people, there were poor people, there were high-class people, there were low-class people, and you might be able to find other diversities among them. And these diversities, these differences between them, were causing them problems. The Gentiles, for instance, in Romans 14, went out and bought meat. It was nothing wrong with buying meat. It was perfectly right for them to go to the market and buy meat. The problem was, this meat sold in the markets at Rome, this meat had been offered to idols first, and then it was brought to the market and sold in the market. And of course, the buying of such meat deeply offended the Jews. And so the Jews had rejected these Gentiles. In other words, you're wicked, sinful people. We want nothing to do with you. You find the same problem in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in the Corinthian church, exactly the same problem. This problem of eating meat offered to idols. And so, as the Gentiles would do this, they were not trying to please the Jews at all. They were standing on their rights. They were simply saying, we are free in Jesus, leave us alone. Don't bother us. Don't criticize us. We have the right to do whatever we please. And of course, the Jews were deeply offended. Neither side was pleasing the other side. And now the Apostle Paul is having to deal with this problem. In Romans chapter 1, he gives three basic rules for them to follow. A rule, first of all, what does God have to say about such practices as you are practicing? Number 2, what do others feel about what you're doing? In other words, are you leading other people astray by what you're doing? And number 3, what does your conscience tell you you ought to do? So he laid down 3 very practical rules. But in chapter 15, he comes now to the very heart of the matter. In other words, even if they follow these 3 rules, if their hearts are not right before God, they are still sinning. And so, in verses 1 to 3, he talks about the first of these deeper things that they need to consider. That is the question, are you really seeking to please other people? Or are you only living selfishly for yourself? That's really the question he's raising. Are you seeking to please other people, or are you living selfishly for yourself? And this is a very important question, and one that needs to be answered. And so here he is giving a command in verse 2. Let every one of you please his neighbor for his good to edification. And this is a very important truth. We are not simply to work for our own interests and to please ourselves, but we're to please and work for the interests of other people as well. Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. He's not using this exact word pleasing other people, but he's speaking of how he himself had given up some of his rights in order that other people would not be offended and led astray. And so this is basically what Paul is speaking about here in Romans chapter 15, verse 2. We are to please other people. Now the question is, what is our encouragement for pleasing other people? What example can we follow in pleasing other people? Could they follow the example of each other? He wasn't suggesting that. In other words, they themselves were failing each other. What kind of an example were they to others in the church when they were criticizing each other, when they were offending each other, when neither side would accept the other side? And so he says in verse 3 that Christ is the perfect example of pleasing other people. How the Lord Jesus humbled himself. He became flesh. He died on the cross for our sins. In other words, he suffered the reproach of other people. The reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Those refer, of course, to the Lord Jesus, for even Christ pleased not himself. So if Christ could have such a humble attitude, not seeking his own interests when he came down from heaven to die on the cross for our sins, why would we not also be willing to give up our interests, our selfish desires, the selfish things we hold on to? Why would we not be willing to give these up for the sake of other people? So this teaching is given to us based on the example of Christ himself. Now, how does this apply to us today? You look over, for instance, into the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, when he speaks of the relationship of Christians to one another. In verse 2 of Philippians 2, he has this to say, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And then verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory," through pride in other words, "but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, his own selfish desires, his own selfish will, but every man also on the things of others. And then let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." In other words, if Jesus could give up so much, why could I not also give up everything for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of others in my life and testimony before others? I don't need to follow my selfish desires. I don't need to follow my selfish will, but rather I give up for the sake of Jesus. I seek to please other people. The idea of pleasing is simply not offending them. In other words, helping them, encouraging them, bringing them closer to the Lord by the example of our lives, and not simply following our own will, our own desire in things. And so this is the teaching we get from Philippians chapter 2, from 1 Corinthians chapters 8, 9, and 10, and also from Romans chapters 14 and 15, especially this passage we read in chapter 15, "Even Christ pleased not himself." My prayer for you, and of course for myself as well, is that we might live this kind of a life, following the example of the Lord Jesus, and not being selfish in pleasing ourselves, but in pleasing others as well, in order to lead them to Christ, and also to help them grow in the Lord Jesus. May God help you and bless you, each one.